Beautiful. Hi, I'm Carla. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carla.
Welcome to the 2013. It's not the 2013th time we've done it, obviously. Promises meeting, a vision for you this holiday season. My name is Carla, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carla.
Will those who wish to please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive eaters here beside myself? Welcome. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer.
The ninth step promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thank you. As a result of working our program of recovery, several promises will manifest in our lives. The following speakers will each share their experience, strength, and hope on one of the 12 promises. First, we have promise number one. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through.
Hi, I'm Kaya, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kaya.
All right. God direct my words that I should say something that someone should benefit from. Ninth step promises. When I started going through and making my amends to my family, it was really not always an easy, it was not an easy thing to do. But as I did them, the rewards that I received from the connection that I received from my family was beyond my wildest dreams. As I was going through the steps, my eldest daughter and I were not living together. She had chosen at 15 to live with her father. And I was able to see my part in it and what was going on. And I was able to speak with her in such a way that today we talk to each other every day. And that to me is a miracle. of this program, because without this program and without the guidance of this program and learning how to do an amends to someone that I learned from people that went before me, she and I still would have probably been at odds. And each day I am so grateful. It allowed me to have a wonderful relationship with my husband. And that really was very special because, as many of you know, my husband is no longer with us. And I can say that we had a good relationship because I was able to make amends to him and create a whole different relationship than we had, and that I was able to be present for him when I couldn't be present when I was in the food. And because of that, it's not easy, but there is serenity in my life that I know that at the end I was really there for him and we really connected. And each of the different people that were on my list as I made amends to them, it created a whole new world for me. My life today would not be what it is today without this program. I would be in the food, obviously. I would be not a very pleasant person to be around. Or I was totally withdrawn, wondering where my next meal was coming from. And I was able to go through this program, and which is never ending. I constantly am going through the steps. I'm again right at the beginning because we continue to learn and more is revealed. And I keep continuing to grow as I grow with this program. And that is a miracle of this program. Also, I'm a 100-pounder, and the idea of still being the weight that I am today is a miracle. And when I really worked the program and was really able to be honest with the people in my life, and it really is lives, we say things we don't realize, but my lives are so different before program and now during program, and God willing there'll never be an after program, because this is not something that you graduate from. I keep growing in this program and I get to see the promises in my life every day. When I get to see how much is that? Thank you. When I get to see the smile of my granddaughter, who knows who her Bubby is, or Grandma, if you don't know what Bubby is. And like I said, I didn't have a relationship with my daughter when I came into this program. And to be able to have this relationship with my daughter's daughter is beyond my wildest dreams. And thank you for letting me share.
The second promise, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness.
I'm Renee J. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor. When we were reading the promises, I felt a tugging, I have to admit, and it reminded me of the first time that I ever heard them. It wasn't, I'd been in the rooms, just to qualify, I came in 2011, and God willing, in January next month, I will have 2 years of abstinence. I do say God willing, because I'm powerless, so I don't know until I reach that day. But I had been in the rooms. I just kept coming back in the beginning, and I remember one day I was at a meeting at the cottage in Santa Monica, a meeting during the day, and I was actually asked to read the promises, and I had heard it several times before. It's always in the it's at the end of each of the meetings that I attended. And when I was asked to read it, I felt the words. I didn't just hear them. I felt them for the first time. So the stalled pattern that I was in, where I was just coming to meetings, I knew I was powerless. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have God. I literally cried through the whole thing. I got so choked up, I had to stop. I apologized to people. And everyone just kept saying, don't have to apologize for the truth. And that's how I felt. I felt so touched. Because for me, I came in pain. I crawled in. I didn't have a higher power. I was godless. And it's so beautiful. It's like a love letter from God. Every word. So a new freedom and a new happiness. We will know. He promises us we will know a new freedom and a new happiness. I think at that point, again, just being powerless and not knowing God yet, I don't really distinguish now from step one from one, two, three. For me, it's not one, two, three. It's one, two, three. there's no, I'm powerless without God, because I can't live without God. It's not about the food. I can't do life without God. I have been, how it's manifested in my life, I have been through things in program that I never thought I could deal with. I never thought I could get through. I had a way of life before where I guess I needed those things. I needed the food. I needed the money. I needed the clothes and the shoes and all this stuff to insulate me, to protect me. And what I learned is that all I really needed was God. And so it says at the end of the promises, which I know that's someone else, I'm not going to skip ahead, but if we work for it, that's kind of what I learned when I really heard it and felt it for the first time. Okay, I'm powerless. God is making a promise to me. There is a God, for one thing. That's what I realized when I heard that. There's a God. He exists, and he's talking to me. This is attainable. This is something that I can get to. He's going to be able to do for me what I cannot do for myself. So what I've learned through program is that I come in with fear and powerless, and I exchange that for faith. I basically am able to, that leads, so basically I have my fear. I go to God. I'm powerless. I go to God. He gives me faith. From that I get acceptance. And then from there, I get a freedom that I could never have imagined. That leads to happiness and joy. He promises us joy. So everything that I've been through, I can't say that, you know, when I met people in program, I remember them saying, you're gonna have a life beyond your wildest dreams. And in the early days, I thought, of recovery, I thought maybe that meant great job and just money and abundance, even more than what I ever had before. And through program, I have gone through the hardest times that I've been laid off of my job of 16 years. I had a tumor removed in my neck that had all this nerve issues going on. I cannot tell you, trying to start my own company, my own new business, which there's just so much fear around. And it's just the hardest thing that I've ever done. But the difference is that I'm not at step one. I'm not just powerless on my knees without God. I have God with me the whole time. I can choose at any point to get on my knees and say, God, I'm afraid. I needed to exchange my fear for faith. So that's the new freedom that I felt. That's the blessing. It's knowing that it doesn't matter whether I'm high, because there's going to be, ups and downs in life. I'm going to have the money that I had in the past. I'm going to have no money. Sometimes I'm going to have a tumor. Sometimes, God willing, you know, it's not cancerous. I'm going to have breakups. I'm going to have tragedy. I'm going to have highs and lows. But if I have God, then it's in the knowing. It's in knowing that He's going to take care of me no matter what. No matter what. So I guess I'm just going to wrap up there. Again, it's not what I imagined. It's beyond that. It's comforting, and it's the truth. It really is the truth. The promises. It not only made me realize that God was real, like I said, but that He had me in the palm of His hands for the rest of my life, no matter what happened. So thank you so much for allowing me to be of service.
Three, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it.
Hi, I'm Liz. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict.
Hi.
Thank you, Carla, for asking me to speak here earlier today. And the reason I say earlier today is because if I'd known longer than that I was going to speak here today, I would have thought about it, because I'm an overthinker. And it was a blessing to me that I've only had a few hours to prepare this, because I just overthink everything. And I'm grateful to this program that I don't have to overthink the past anymore. As I was thinking about this today, I'm a theater person. I was listening to a bunch of different musicals in the car as I was driving around, and a song that has always touched me came on, and it's from Wicked, and it's called For Good. And the basic reason the words behind the title are, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. And the lyric that hit me most as I was thinking about this is, I know I am who I am today because I knew you. Long before I came into program, if you could go back and change anything about your life, what would you change? I would always say nothing, because everyone I met along the way has turned me into the person I am today. It hasn't always been the easiest. I actually came into program because an ex-boyfriend basically dangled marriage in front of me and said, you've always talked about OA, but you haven't really acted on it, and I'm worried about your health. And it took me a long time to accept that it was because of him that I actually ended up coming here. That God was working through him is how I now qualify it. And as I was working my fourth step and going through my resentments, and still to this day as I'm working through issues that I have with my growing up with my parents, things that I wish had been done differently, or I wish that they had reacted to differently, I have to accept that these things happen for a reason. I am now learning from them, so I won't make the same mistakes. When I made amends to both my parents, it didn't go perfectly. But I was able to accept, and now I'm able to have a much easier relationship with both of them, because I accept them for who they are. I accept that they did the best job they could given their backgrounds and their histories. And I'm in a more peaceful place because of it. And, you know, I may have always known that, you know, everything that led me to today's, but I'm able to grasp it a lot more, because I have this serenity around it, and I have this acceptance around it. And I know that, you know, it is what it is. I can't go back and change it. It's interesting, as I was thinking about this song, about a month after my ex-boyfriend actually broke up with me, which was two months into program, I went to see this composer, a bunch of songs by him. And I'm not a person that cries easily in public. And as the finale, he went up to the piano and he played this song. And my body, without being able to control it, just started crying uncontrollably. Being in program, I was able to feel my feelings. And it just all came out. And this song, now I don't cry as much anymore when I hear it, but it is. It's everyone we knew in our past was there for a reason or a lifetime. And that's That's a good thing, because it's made us all who we are today.
Promise 4, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace.
Denise, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Denise.
When I first came into the 12-step way of life, I'm sure I had heard the word serenity, but I had no concept of what it really meant, because my life was had so much confusion, and I was really up and down, like on a roller coaster ride my life was. So, but when I got to program, I started saying the serenity prayer like it was a mantra, over and over and over. And when once I was sitting in my room and I had an office, and it was like in April and it had been raining, and I could hear the cars passing by swishing, and I don't think I'd heard that before, and my mind got really, really quiet, and I began to realize that there had been a lot of chatter going on up there, and things got really quiet. And so when I thought about it, I said, this must be what serenity feels like. And I kind of wondered about it. And what I learned was the reason why I got that serenity is I had been praying for it when I said the serenity prayer. And I learned that the serenity prayer is a real prayer. We say it rote and we don't think much about it. But what was revealed to me is you've been praying for serenity. And I was just, the fact that now people will say to me, I can see how serene you are. That's almost like 180 degrees from where I was when I came here. I was anything but serene. So that promise that you will know serenity, it has been realized in my life today. And I'm really glad to say that I don't feel I had to work so hard for it as I had to surrender to it. And my life changed. Thank you.
The fifth promise, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others.
No. Oh, hi. Hi, I'm Laurie, anorexic bulimic.
Hello.
Hi, thank you. Bumping into things up here. Thank you, first of all, for asking me to speak here. I remember coming to the Promises meetings in my early recovery, like, for many years, and so it's nice to be here again. I'll just qualify real quick. I came into program 16 years ago, and I have 15 years of abstinence from anorexia and bulimia. And I chose this promise because for me, when I came in, I really didn't see how useful I was to anyone or anything. I was so in my disease and so in the food and so in the starvation and so in the exercise bulimia that I couldn't see beyond that to see that God had a purpose for my life. And It took many years in program and many much praying and doing the steps and being sponsored and sponsoring that the fog began to lift and I began to see how God was and now is using me. I also, you know, I was thinking of like a word that came to mind, because I too didn't want to focus too much on like what I was going to say, because I just wanted to let God speak. And the word that came to mind, and that was just such a reminder of how I was when I came in. I used to think I was damaged. Like, that was the word that I used a lot in the beginning of my recovery. And it was just like this deeply rooted underlying belief that like somehow innately there was something terribly wrong with me. And again, as I said, like doing the step work and coming to meetings and working with sponsor, I don't say that about myself anymore. Like, I do not think that I'm damaged. I had a lot of hurt when I came in the rooms, and I had a lot of grief and anger. And working through that and letting someone see me in that vulnerable place of pain has healed that belief. Like, I don't think that anymore. And if anything, I'm very grateful for the experiences, because I see today, and I've seen over the course of the last 16 years, just how even the career path that I've chosen is, I truly believe, a gift of what has been uncovered through the steps. And I'm in a profession where I'm working with other people in crisis, and it's like, if you had told me that I was going to be doing that, I would have been like, no way, you know, because I don't have anything to offer. And I'm just grateful that I have a profession where I get to be of service every day, and I get to, I must ask God every day for help and for guidance in that profession. And it is not something that I can do on my own, and I'm grateful for that as well. And I was pretty low when I came in. I was such an empty shell of a person. I wanted to be invisible. I did not want to be seen. I did everything in my power to make myself invisible. And I was suicidal. I was just, I was very, very low bottom, anorexic. And I know for everybody that's different. I was pretty low, and I don't feel that today. I truly feel no regret or no questioning about any of the experiences that I went through before I got into program and in program, because all of these experiences have shaped me into the woman I am today. And I say woman because when I walked in here 16 years ago, I was a girl. I was a little girl. I was 21, I think. Yeah, like 21 or 22. I was such a little girl, and everything I did was based on like very young thinking, very, very, very young. And today, like, I'm a woman, and I just feel so blessed in that. And I love the 12 steps. I love the people in these rooms. I love seeing the recovery. And like, I love hearing everybody speak about, you know, these promises, because truly, truly, as was said before, like, they will come true if you work for it. Like, okay. It just happens. Like, program works me. Like, it's like, it's just become an innate part of my life. Like, that I just think and feel and act through what I get from program and from the 12 steps. So, I guess the last thing I just want to say is, you know, truly, no matter how far down the scale you have gone or think you've gone, like, you have a beautiful, beautiful gift to share with others. And it was only through someone else sharing with me their lowest of lows in their life that gave me the strength and courage to say, oh my gosh, like, I'm not alone. Like, I can do this. Like, I found my people. Like, and I'm so grateful for that. And yeah, I'm just very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thomas 6. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear.
Hi, I'm Joanna, anorexic, bulimic, and a compulsive eater.
Hi, Joanna.
Nice to be here. It's a beautiful meeting. It's a little history. I came into OA in 1995, so I've been, I started 18 years ago. I have 17 years of abstinence from bulimia and anorexia. OA was my first 12-step program, but we, as you hear in Hiram Peel, the layers of the onion, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. I have 5 12-step programs. And when I say that I'm sober and abstinent, I mean I'm the big sober, like emotionally. You know, there's nothing between me and life anymore. There's no food, there's no alcohol and drugs, there's no shopping, there's no men, there's no texting an ex, there's no spending money I don't have, like, you name it, that behavior doesn't, there's no caffeine, there's no nicotine, like, there's nothing. So, it can get kind of raw. and I want to say that we've numbered these promises tonight, but Bill W., who founded the 12-step movement, and who I personally feel like I owe my life to, he was a really meticulous and interesting guy, and he the numbers that we're doing right now actually don't correspond with the number of the promises. He wrote these promises to correspond with each step. And our numbers are a little off this today, but we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness is actually promise number one, and that's step one, because I put down my substance, I put down the food, and I have a new freedom because I was a slave. And promise number two is we won't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. And that goes to step two, where I'm restored to sanity. And promise number three says we'll comprehend the word serenity and we'll know peace. And step three is where we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand them. And step four, that's where we do our personal moral inventory. And it says no matter how far down the scale we have gone, and that's the step where we look at how far down we've gone and we get built back up. Promise 5, which is actually the one I'm talking about, it's labeled 6 here, but it says that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, and that's actually step 5. That's where we get to share with a sponsor or somebody else, and we hear them be loving and accepting to us, and we no longer feel that uselessness and that self-pity because they share with us that they've done the same stuff. And as a sponsor, I know I'm no longer useless because I get to share with my sponsees in step 5 what I've done, you know, and say that I relate. And it's a beautiful process. Promise number 6 is we'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows, and that's where we make a decision to have our character defects removed. And step 7 is the shortest step, actually. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. It also corresponds with the shortest promise, self-seeking will slip away. And step 8, our whole attitude and outlook upon life, I'm sorry, promise 8, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Step 8 is when we look at the list of people we've harmed and we become willing to make amends to them. And step 9 is where we make amends. And promise number 9 is that fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us because we make these amends and nobody dies. And maybe it doesn't go so well sometimes. And we make financial restitution where we need to and we can walk proudly. We no longer have that fear anymore and that shame. And promise number 10, we intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us, goes with step 10, which is that we continue to take a personal moral inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. And every night we look at, if you do it the big book way, I look at my resentments and my fears, and I look at my part, and then I make an amends the next day if I need to. Promise 11 is we'll suddenly realize that God's doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and step 11 is where I continue to seek for a constant conscious contact with God and my understanding through prayer and meditation. And then promise number 12 says these promises will materialize if we work for them. And step 12 is the service step, right? I don't get to keep this thing unless I give it away. And It's really, and actually there's a beautiful thing in some of our meeting rooms in OA that you go into, the steps and the traditions are on the wall, right? You see them, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And in New York, there's a meeting in of the beverage program where they have the 12 promises in that same exact format. And it's really a beautiful poster, and it's in the same lettering and the same coloring and everything. And actually, that's how I know about all of this. And, you know, I can say that I'll go back to focusing on the promise I was asked to speak on, which is that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And I talked about that a minute ago when I did step five, you know, and I sat across from another human being, and she said to me, "You did that twice, I did it five times," you know. And or I told her the most horrible, ugly thing that I never, ever wanted to tell another human being. And she said to me, "So what?" You know? And I get to now do that with my sponsees, and I have lots and lots of sponsees. I've sponsored a lot of women over the years, you know, and I can make them feel okay, you know, about the things they've done so that they don't have to carry around that shame and that self-pity of their lives and the way that they've lived them. But, you know, this promise is really wonderful because it's not just about step five. It's about all of the steps. You know, what Bill W. said he wrote it in a great line. It's in a book that's conference-approved literature. It's called As Bill Sees. And on page 95, Bill said, and I'm going to change the words to fit our program. He said, "What we're doing here is we're teaching each other how to not eat compulsively and how to live life with grace." You know, when we do these steps and when I find a God of my understanding or a higher power of my understanding, doesn't matter what you find, we're not telling you what God to find, you know. You don't have to call it God. You know, you call it whatever you want. It can be whatever you want. We are not the arbiters. He says this on this page 95. We are not the arbiters of anybody's spiritual beliefs. There is absolutely nothing that you have to do here. Right? We are fellow addicts walking through this thing and helping each other walk through life with grace so that we can hold our heads high. When I do this thing as it's prescribed, I am able to go through life with feelings of purpose, usefulness, and confidence. Because when I came in here, that was not the person who walked in the door. My level of self-hatred and fear and social anxiety and insecurity was huge. And I ate over that. I didn't eat. Food is a symptom, right? Food is a symptom of my mental and emotional state, which was terrified, anxious, self-hating. When I come in here and I go to meetings and I get a sponsor and I sponsor and I write and I read and I pray and I meditate and I, you know, I do this deal, I no longer have to eat over my problems because I am no longer inside the same person I was. Right? I have a level of confidence and self-love that I never had prior to walking in these rooms. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. We're now going to take a 5-minute break, and we have literature here that you may want to purchase for yourself or others, and there's water also. So please help yourself. The restrooms are out the door and to the left. And if you could feel free to, of course, extinguish your candles, and we'll light them again. And when we resume in about 5 minutes.